We thank you for tuning in to the Chosen City Church Sermons podcast. At Chosen City Church, we are chosen to overcome, to build, and to be like Jesus. We pray that this podcast will empower you to do the same on today.
Come on, let's put those hands together and bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God. Would you bow your heads with me, Father, in the name of Jesus? Just once again, God, we enter into another worship service. We thank you, God, for everything that has been done thus far to give you glory and honor. And to edify the saints of God. We pray now, God, that you would continue to tabernacle with us, that you would continue to speak to us, through us, and for us, that your word would come forth, and that the souls of your people would be blessed. This is our prayer. In the matchless and majestic name of Jesus our Christ. And all God's people said together, Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I greet you this morning with Jesus' joy. It is another day that the Lord has blessed us. We honor the set man, the angel, the leader of this house, your most honorable and esteemed pastor, Pastor Walter Bowers. And come on, let's put those hands together for his lovely wife and family, Lady Bowers and the Bowers family. To the ministerial staff of this very fine church, to the officers and members, and to this powerful praise and worship ministry. Let's celebrate them. Amen. And to all of you, my father's children, we bring you greetings from the Greater Galilee Church, both Charlotte and Winston-Salem. I bring you greetings from the United Missionary Baptist Association, for which you are part of. And we thank God that he has allowed us to come and to share with you a word. I thank God that your pastor trusted me to come in his absence and say a word on the Lord's behalf. There is a word from the Lord, and it is found in the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verses 19 through 20. I'm reading from the Amplified Version, and it reads like this. But some Jews arrived there from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the people and won them over, they stoned Paul and afterward dragged him out of town, thinking that he was dead. But the disciples formed a circle about him, and he got up and went back into the town, and on the morrow, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. That concludes the reading of the word. God's word is already blessed. I want to talk about this morning, I'm anointed to bounce back. I'm anointed to bounce back. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Today, because you cared for me in such a special way . That's why I praise you, I lift you up, I magnify your name. That's why my heart's filled with praise. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, in such special way. I praise you, I lift you up. That's why my heart's filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Praise God. Praise God. I'm too anointed. I'm anointed to bounce back. The spotlight of our sermonic presentation shines at a very momental moment in the ministry of the early church. For Acts chapters 13 and 14. Mark the moment that the church is getting ready to step out of her comfort zone and move into uncharted territory. Acts chapters 13 and 14 chronicle the first missionary journey of the church. And that's important because it is at this juncture that the church is no longer stationary, but the church is now going to be missionary. The church is going to be no longer stagnant, but the church is going to be one that is on the move. And what's so interesting about this particular juncture in the life of the church is that two persons are primarily responsible for ushering the church into this new ministerial endeavor. And their names are Saul and Barnabas. Yes, Saul. Saul is the same person a few chapters earlier who made havoc of the church. But he's the same person now who's getting ready to make headway for the church. So Saul, along with Barnabas, are those individuals who have been handpicked by the Holy Spirit to lead the challenge of the church going into uncharted territory. And the Bible is clear in the book of Acts, chapter 13, that God saw something that was redeemable in Saul. And the Holy Spirit took it upon himself to set aside Barnabas and Saul for the work of ministry. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate now for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Notice, if you will, that Saul nor Barnabas call themselves, but it was the Holy Spirit that set them apart. Understand now, it was not Saul selecting Saul. It was not Barnabas selecting Barnabas. But the text suggests that it was the Holy Spirit that set them apart. And can I remind somebody this morning that you don't owe people any explanations as to why God chose you. So stop trying to explain the favor that's on your life. Stop trying to explain how and why you got the selection. Stop trying to explain why you got the position. Stop trying to explain how and why the doors were opened for you. I wish I had somebody. Stop trying to justify why you and not them. Because the text suggests that it was the Holy Spirit that decided to separate Saul and Barnabas for the work of Christ. And another thing, my brothers and sisters, is that the work that Saul and Barnabas received was born out of the worship that Saul and Barnabas was releasing. The Bible is clear in Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit says, separate now for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them to. So that lets us know that Saul and Barnabas were worshipers. And because they were engaged in the act of worshiping, God decided to give them work. Listen, there are some folk who are questioning why God is not giving them any work. But it could be that God ain't giving them no work because you ain't giving God no worship. I wish I had somebody. Because there is a correlation between work and worship. That if you start becoming a worshiper of God, then God will give you an assignment to be a worker for God. Because it's our worship that gives birth to our work. Listen, every worker for God ought to be a worshiper for God. And isn't it oxymoronic to be a worker but not a worshiper? Isn't it oxymoronic for a leader who never worships? Isn't it oxymoronic to have somebody in ministry who never worships? I wish I had somebody. How you gonna be a worker and you sit like a knot on a log? You never raise your hands. You never open your mouth. You never give God a praise offering. Our work only comes after the fact that we are worshipers. Is that right? God calls us from worship to work. If you are a worshiper of God, God's got his eyes on you. The Bible suggests that Saul and Barnabas are getting ready to be catapulted into ministry. They're being groomed to go forth into the field of mission. Saul and Barnabas are getting ready to work for the Lord. Understand now, even though Saul has been called into ministry, it doesn't keep him from misery. Even though God has called him, God did not keep him from experiencing trials and tribulations. Saul's assignment came with some setbacks. Somebody shout setbacks. Let's talk about setbacks. Because in the church and even in ministry, we don't talk about setbacks. We don't talk about the difficult times of life. We don't talk about our rough experiences. Now, we ain't got no problem talking about our victories, but nobody likes to talk about our vices. We don't have a problem talking about our successes, but we don't talk much about our struggles. We love to talk about our favor, but we don't mention our failures. Because we don't talk much about our setbacks in church and in ministry enough. And I'm afraid that what we do is we may give off to somebody an abstract conception that serving the Lord is going to be easy. We give the false conception that serving the Lord is going to be carefree. That serving the Lord is going to be without headache and heartache and without some tears and trials and misery. But no one in ministry ever talks openly and candidly about setbacks. And sometimes we send the wrong message and the wrong signals that this journey is somehow going to be easy. But the truth of the matter is this, that once you purpose in your heart that you're going to serve the Lord, what you've really done is you've listed your name and your number, your cell number, in the devil's directory. And now the hellhounds are going to hellaciously hound your heels. And actually what you've done is you have singled yourself out to suffer. You've been picked out to be picked on. You have been chosen to be chased. You've been favored, but you're still going to be frustrated because you're going to have setbacks in ministry. And somebody ought to shout, get ready for setbacks. Because when you read these two chapters, chapter 13 and 14, I want to suggest that Saul had three major setbacks. And I want us to look at them because I believe that those three setbacks that Saul had in ministry are some of the same setbacks that you and I are going to have if we plan to be serious about serving God. And the first setback that Paul had in ministry was this. He had a setback by the departure of Mark. The first setback that Saul had was the departure of Mark. Saul had to deal with the fact that somebody that was close to him walked out of his life. Saul had to deal with the fact that somebody that he cared for left. In Acts chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible suggested that when Saul and Barnabas were preparing to launch out on their ministerial journey, notice they weren't traveling by themselves. The Bible is clear in Acts 13 and 5 that when they launched out on their journey, there was a young man by the name of John Mark who was with them. And the Bible says that he was an attendant. He was an adjutant. He was an armor bearer. He was a person that was called to assist Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And the Bible says that as they were on their journey, something happened as they were on this journey. Something went wrong. And we're not clear as to what happened between Saul, Barnabas, and John Mark. The Bible is silent. And because the text is silent, we can't insert what happened. Because I've learned that when the text is silent, you need to be silent. The Bible says in verse 13 of Acts 13 that whatever happened, John Mark departed. John Mark decided to leave and to go back to Jerusalem. Now, Saul and Barnabas had to deal with the setback based on the departure of Mark. Mark started on the journey, but he stopped. Mark went forward, but then he turned around. Mark made a commitment, but then his commitment was broken. And the result is Saul had to deal with the departure of somebody who was close to him. Somebody shout, departures. Can I stay there for a few minutes? Because everybody can't handle departures. For some of us, departures are debilitating. For some of us, departures are devastating. For some of us, departures are crippling. In fact, there's somebody who's listening to me right now. You are grappling with a departure. Somebody has never recovered because there's somebody who's departed out of your life. But the truth of the matter is this: everybody that's with you at the beginning won't be with you at the end. Listen, those that start with you, there is no guarantee that they're going to be with you at the end. You have to come to terms with the fact that there are some people in your life for a reason, others for a season, then others for a lifetime. And you got to be able to know the difference. You got to know the difference between seasonal people and the ones who are meant to be in your life until the end. Saul had to deal with the departure of John Mark. Mark walked away. And there is somebody who's listening to me right now. Part of your struggle right now is a setback based on departure. Somebody that you loved, somebody that you cared for, somebody that you poured into, somebody that you made a physical or mental or financial investment into, they're no longer there. But please understand that sometimes God subtracts from you just to make room to add to you. I wish I had somebody. Sometimes God has a strange way of adding. He adds through subtraction. John Mark left Saul. So the first setback that Saul had to deal with was a departure. But then the second thing is, Saul had to deal with the setback of disruptions in ministry. Disruptions in ministry. It happened because every time God starts blessing Saul, some kind of way, the devil tried to block Saul. When you read chapter 13 and 14, every time Saul was making progress, the devil was right there causing problems. Every time God started opening a door, the devil was there to try to close the door. Saul was operating in supernatural power. The Bible says in chapter 13, verse 9, that Saul spoke a word, and a sorcerer by the name of Elymas was struck with blindness. In chapter 14, verse 8, he spoke a word, and an impotent man who had never walked before leaped upon his feet, and he started walking. But after every miraculous manifestation, Saul had to deal with a major confrontation. Every time Saul made progress, the devil made plans. Every time the Lord started blessing, the devil started blocking. Every time Saul turned around and experienced success, he had another disruption in ministry. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 50, that the people instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their boundaries. Every time Saul made progress, the devil was right there trying to block his progress. But here's the shout. The shout is, Saul learned how to handle disruptions in his life. The Bible says in verse 51 that instead of being shook by disruptions, you know what he did? He shook off the disruptions. The Bible says that Saul and the apostles shook the dust from their feet. Can I suggest to somebody that sometimes you got to learn how to shake some stuff off? Do I have a witness here? Sometimes you're going to have opposition to rise up against you, but you got to learn how to shake it off. Sometimes you're going to have trials and tribulations that are going to rise up in your life, but you got to learn how to shake it off. Do I have a witness? Lean over to somebody and tell them, you got to learn how to shake some stuff off. Because you got to understand that sometimes our confrontations are nothing but confirmations that you are still in the will of God. I wish I had some help here. And somebody, you're looking at your confrontation the wrong way. Listen, it ain't a sign that you are outside of the will of God. It's not a sign that you are out of place. It's not a sign that you're doing something wrong. But sometimes confirmations are just confirmation that you are right where God wants you to be. I wish I had somebody. After all, my brothers and sisters, if you are going one way and the devil is going the other way, there is going to be a confrontation along the way. Saul had some setbacks. He was set back by departures, setbacks by disruptions, but the third setback was probably the most difficult setback. It wasn't the departure mark, wasn't the departure in disruption in ministry, but it was the disdain of the mob. People hated Saul. And listen, we are living in a society where folk want to be loved. We're living in a culture where folk want to be liked. We post all kind of stuff on Facebook trying to get likes. We post on TikTok, we post on Instagram, we post on Twitter. We wear certain things and post certain things because we're trying to get likes. We want to be followed. We want to be loved. But can I give you a startling revelation? No matter what video you post, no matter what TikTok you make, no matter what song you sing, no matter what plate of food you prepare and you show, everybody ain't gonna love you. You can be kind, you can be sweet, you can mind your own business. Everybody ain't gonna love you. Jesus said that the world would hate us for his name's sake. Mark 13 and 13. You're going to experience the disdain of folk. Saul was hated. The Bible says in verse 19 that some Jews arrived there from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded people and won them over, they stoned Paul and afterward dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. Paul was hit by stones. Paul was so disdained by the mob that the Bible says they stoned Paul, meaning that Paul, Saul, was hit by stones. Church, can I tell you something? Your faith ain't really been tested until you've taken a hit. I don't care how much you come to church and brag about how strong you are in your faith. Your faith hadn't been tested until you can earnestly say you've taken a hit. Your marriage hadn't been tested until it's taken a hit. Your finances hadn't really been tested until it's taken a hit. And don't fool yourself. In this thing called life, you might as well get ready to take some hits. I wish I had somebody. If I'm telling the truth in here, then lean over and tell somebody, get ready for the hits. Because there is no boxer in a boxing ring that doesn't expect to get hit. And just like the boxer, you can't step in the ring of life and not expect to get some jabs, some punches. You're going to take some hits. Paul was hit by some stones. But not only was he hit by stones, but the text suggests that he was hurt by the stones that he was hit with. He was hurt by the stone because the Bible says in Acts 14 and 19, they thought he was dead. So the text implies that not only that the only reason that the stoners stopped stoning Saul was because they thought that he was hurt so bad that he had died. He was hit by stone, but the text suggests that he was hurt by stones, that he was hit with the stones. But listen, let me tell you something. Every hit don't hurt. But there are some hits that can cut you to your core. And I believe I've got somebody in here who can testify that you've got some hits now that still hurt. Somebody's got some emotional scars that still hurt even to this day. That there are some things that people have said, there's some things that people have done that still hurt to this day. And there is nobody, especially in church, I wish I had a witness here, who has not experienced some hurt. Because if you stay in church long enough, you're going to experience some hurt in the house. Can I suggest that there's no kind of hurt like church hurt? Now, you expect to get hurt in your marriage. You marry a fool, you're going to get hurt. Okay. You expect to get hurt by fake friends. You expect to get hurt by some family members. You expect to get hurt on your job. But you don't expect to get hurt when you come to church. But sometimes the worst hurt is in church. Saul was hit by stone. He was hurt by stone. But listen, if you don't learn how to handle hurt, hurt will handle you. Somebody said, hurt people hurt people. Somebody acts and reacts the way they do because they've never learned how to handle hurt. They've never learned how to forgive. They've never learned how to let some stuff go. They've never learned how to let the Holy Spirit massage their hearts. And because they never learned how to handle hurt, they hold on to hurt and they end up hurting somebody else. But I declare to you, if you've been hurt by stones, God can heal your hurts. Because there is a balm in Gilead. Is that right? He was hit by stones. He was hurt by stones. But then the text says he rose. That suggests that he was not hindered by the stones. Saul was hit by these stones so hard until he was lying there on the ground and the people thought he was dead. Listen, church, sometimes God will give your enemies the illusion of your defeat. He wasn't dead, but they thought he was dead. God gave the enemy the illusion of defeat so that the enemy could stop hitting him with stone. Because if he'd have kept moving, if he would have kept displaying signs of life, they would have never stopped stoning him. But because God allowed him to lay there like he was dead, the enemy stopped. And that's the mistake that the enemy is making with you. The enemy thought that you were lifeless. The enemy thought that you were gone. The enemy thought that you were down for the count. The enemy thought that all life was gone. But how many of you can testify the devil is a liar? All God was doing was just giving your haters the illusion of your defeat, because as soon as they turned their back, you got up. The text says he arose. I'm closing now. But he bounced back. He was too anointed to stay down. He was hit. He was hurt. But he was not hindered. Because the text says that some kind of way he mustered up enough strength to be able to get back up. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there's a child of God. I need to remind you that you have been too anointed not to bounce back. You've been too endowed not to bounce back. And no matter what kind of power has tried to hold you down, you can tell the devil that he is a liar. I will bounce back. Is that right? And somebody can testify, I bounce back. I bounce back from depression. I bounce back from suicidal thoughts. I bounce back from anxiety, a bounce back from financial distress. Do I have a witness? And the Bible says in verse number 20 that the disciples formed a circle around about him, and he got up. Do I have a witness? He was hit by stone. He was hurt by stone. And the hits and the hurts happened in the city. And so if you don't want to be hit, and if you don't want to be hurt, and if I was hit and hurt in the city, I ain't going back to the city. Is that right? But the text said he got up, but he went back into the city. And that didn't make no sense to me. So I had to ask Saul, why in the world, since you've been hit, since you've been hurt, why in the world would you go back to the same place where you've been hit and where you've been hurt? Well, Saul, he texted me this morning, and here's what he said. He said, Pastor Mac, the reason why I did it was because I had to let the stoners know that I've been stoned, but I've never been stopped. Do I have a witness? And I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody, that's your testimony. You've been hit by some stuff. You've been hit by death. You've been hit by disease. You've been hit by desperation. You've been hit by sorrow. You've been hit by sickness. You've been hit because you've lost some loved one, but you kept on getting up. Do I have a witness here? You had to let the devil know that even though I've been stoned, you can't stop me. Do I have a witness here? Because after all I've been through, I still have joy. Do I have a witness here? If that fits the way you feel, can you look at a neighbor? Tell your neighbor, I don't know about you, but I've been through too much. I've been through too much. I've cried too many tears, had too many midnights, and God brought me through it. And I came this morning to give him praise. I had to tell the Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, the only reason I'm here this morning is because he brought me. He brought me. He brought me. Oh, 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 he brought me. Oh, 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 he brought me. Do I have a witness here? If he's been good to you, and you know that 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 you know what nobody life of the Lord. Lift your hands and shout glory. Glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm anointed to bounce back. The devil can't keep me down. Somebody in here, that's your testimony. Come on, you ought to give him a praise. Because that's your testimony. You've been able to bounce back through everything that you've been through. Give him a praise. Give him a worship. Because when I think about Jesus and all he's done for me, I just got to dance, dance, dance.
Thank you for tuning in to our sermons podcast here at Chosen City Church. This and other podcasts, as well as our live Sunday morning service, can be found on all of our streaming platforms and are also available on the new Chosen City Church app, which is available on both the Apple Store and Google Play. We would love to see you in person on Sunday morning at either our 8 a.m. or 10:15 services. We are located at 13925 Irwin Road in Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope to see you soon and have a blessed day.